Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We'll be looking at a very important, yet a very divisive issue. We're talking about today, divide and conquer, or if you please, manufactured racism. Manufactured racism. I believe we need to be concerned about that. I believe we need to talk about that. And as Christians, we need to recognize and understand what the Scripture says in relationship to who we are as individuals. Do we have more than one race? God created one race. It was the human race. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that what we're seeing today is the manufacturing of racism to divide us. In fact, in Romans 2:11, the Scripture says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." And yet we're doing that as a culture, as a system in our nation today, to divide, undermine, overthrow, and destroy our great nation. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he says in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? It is the truth book. I recommend it to you. It is the secularist George Orwell, in his writing, his book entitled 1984, made a statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. And with the subject that we will discuss today, there will be those that will hate to hear the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, from a Christian perspective, we need to understand that it is necessary for us to face the truth, deal with the truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I pray that that's what you're doing today, that that's your modus operandi, that that is your manner of life, your walk is in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner brand for lawn care. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Good benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, for finding Tools for Time is to find that gigantic U.S. flag flowing 165 feet there. That flag's flowing 24/7, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a brief few moments to do a introductory monologue, and then we're going to be talking with Greg today about this subject of manufactured racism, divide and conquer, racial division in America. Is it real? Is it relevant? Is it something that is spontaneous, or is it something that's being ginned up and created to divide America? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're truly living in the last days, and that's evident by the scripture. In fact, I want to read a verse or two of Matthew chapter 24, which is a prophetic eschatological text telling about what's going to happen in the last days, how we can recognize the signs of the last days. And it's spoken of here in the scripture. In fact, I'm going to pluck out of the whole chapter, Matthew 24, the entire chapter is one unit, but I'm going to pluck out of that verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. We're going to talk about that to introduce the subject today. The Bible says, for many, that's megas, multitudes, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See ye be not troubled. For all these things must, ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Ladies and gentlemen, there, I want to point out just three basic things, and then we'll make our transition to the body of what we're talking about today, the meat of the subject that we're talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, the three major signs, the most important ones that we find in the last days, be false prophets, preachers claiming to be Christ. That's the first major thing. We're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, on a global basis, there are those false teachers, false prophets that are claiming to have some direct insight from God, or that they're sent by God, or that they are actually Christ coming to save the world. And I won't go into detail with that, but that's one of the first indicators of the last days, according to Matthew chapter 24. Second thing is wars and rumors of wars. We see this around the globe today. You can take a world globe, spin it, close your eyes, spin it, place your finger there, and there'll be, in some part of that world, there'll be some type of wars or calamity that's taking place with wars and rumors of wars. But the third major sign is nation shall rise against nation. Ladies and gentlemen, the Greek word for nation is the word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S. We get our word ethnicity or ethnic or race from this word. Today, as never before, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing race wars on a global basis. We see the Arabs against the Jews. We see the Islamic jihadists against the enemies of other races. But ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing this take place today in America through the new Biden socialist Marxist BLM administration. There's a move today to divide America ethnically, race against race. Keep in mind, the goal of communism is to divide the people, to disarm the people, to deceive the people into believing that the enemy, that our enemy, is our fellow citizen. That is one of the key components of dividing to overthrow a nation for socialism / Marxism, Maoism, Leninism, better known as communism, for America. That's the goal for the United States of America that's being carried out today. Here's an article. It's not an article. It's simply from the dictionary, an adjective, if you will. The word racist is a prejudice against or antagonistic toward a person or people of on the basis of their membership in a special or particular racial or ethnic group, typically one that is a minority that can be marginalized. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the basic understanding of what is called racist or racism. There's a term today that's being used in America. It's being infiltrated into every educational system from kindergarten through university level. It's being employed by every major corporate entity today. It's called critical race theory. It's a classic communist divide and conquer tactic. Let me just read you a paragraph or two from a massive article on that subject. Of all the ways identity politics is used as a tool to sow hatred among people where there should be potential for friendship, critical race theory is one of the gravest offenders. Every person of goodwill should know that judging people based on their physical characteristics is cruel and wrong. This is not the nature of critical race theory, however. Rather, the indigenous ideology is being used to promote estrangement rather than friendship, hostility rather than goodwill. Indeed, the tactics used by the proponents of critical race theory share many parallels with the old tactics used in the Bolshevik Revolution. Further in the article, it says, critical race theory's agitators are committed to tearing down civil society on the pretense that it is an incubator for systemic racism. If you've any doubt about that, consider the Smithsonian display on whiteness that condemned all elements of civil society, including politeness, hard work, self-reliance, logic, planning, and family cohesion. None of those are white values, but critical race theory frames them as being white values. Doused with critical race theory, the Black Lives Matter organization and its related Antifa infused mobs are organized for the same purpose as a cult recruits, to recruit more people and to implement the desire to divide and to conquer and destroy America. As with all forms of identity politics, intersectionality, critical race theory, strokes division between people where few or none existed before, end quote. That's where we're going today. That's where we're talking about today. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you believe America is a racist nation, want to know why, what are your premises for that? Where are you getting your statistical data, and what proves your point? Are you in favor of Black Lives Matter? Do you believe that the critical race theory is good for America? What is it to you, and how do you feel in relationship to it? Greg, I'm thankful that you're taking time out of your basking in the snow and the rain and the sleet there in the state of Tennessee, the southern point of heaven, as you call it. It's a beautiful day here in Jacksonville. It's still a little chilly for me, but sun's shining. It's about high 60s or early 70s, so I can't complain. But I'm thankful that you're with us today.
Just rub all that warm weather in my face. That's all right. You can pick on most of the country, but I'm still loving East Tennessee, looking out the great Houston Valley here and into the Smoky Mountains. It's a beautiful place to live. And you know what? Those folks in East Tennessee still love freedom, and I really enjoy that part about East Tennessee. But as you point out these things that divide, and you've covered doctrines that divide, this critical race theory is intended to drive a massive wedge based on a person's skin color. And it's completely opposite to the words of Martin Luther King that said, you know, he dreamed of the day that his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Now, these folks that try to wear the mantle of Martin Luther King, folks like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, those folks have spent the past 40 years plus as complete race baiters, race hustlers, and they use every opportunity to drive a wedge. But the left has now fully adopted this ideology in order to rip America apart for one purpose alone, and that is for their power, not because of what's best for America, but because of their power. Isn't it amazing how, you know, they constantly want to point to skin color? Who leads the Democratic Party? Who leads for decades now? White old people lead the Democratic Party. The fellow that's supposed to clean up the mess has been in the mess for 47, 48 years now. Joe Biden, you think he's going to fix anything, folks? Really? He's been part of it. Now he's talking reparations. We're going to have a commission on reparations. Well, if we had this committee, I'd have this first question. Who owes whom? You know, where do you find your victims? Any real victims that are a result of slavery are already dead and gone. Any perpetrators are already dead and gone. Will we judge the great-great-grandchildren, and will we give reparations to the great-great-grandchildren of those that were harmed? And where do we stop this train? Because you have to go outside the United States to find 95% of those black African slaves that were sold into slavery. Shall we give reparations to the Irish slaves, to the Chinese slaves, to the Jewish slaves, to the right on down the list? What? Where are we going with this, other than dividing this country? Right now, some events, we're having a national anthem and then a black national anthem. That's divisive. It's damaging to our culture.
Greg, one of the things I touched on by way of the brief monologue is the fact that this is a chief tool of communism. to disarm the people, to allow force the people to be totally subservient to the government for their medical care, to have all education through the government, to disarm the people, and to divide the citizens to be one against the other. But, Greg, one of the things that is so antithetical to anything that can be called reality, I'm looking at an article that says, racism blamed after a woman decides to cover her own hair with heavy-duty adhesive. This article, I am trying not to laugh, ladies and gentlemen, but I must read you a blurb from this article. And, Greg, this points out where we are, how we've become so silly and so divisive that everything that's touched is now has some racial negative component. This article says a Louisiana woman fresh out of got to be, that's G-O-T with a 2 and a B, got to be glued brand hairspray, decided to use Gorilla Glue, Gorilla Glue spray as a substitute. After going through this with her idea, though, she discovered that she couldn't wash the spray out, which she had expected she would be able to do. Instead, she had to visit a plastic surgeon in order to finally get her hair free. The woman, Tricia Brown, went viral on Instagram in a video earlier this month where she detailed what had happened. Quote, "It's not by choice." No, it's not by choice, she said in the video. After Brown went viral, USA Today jumped in to implicitly defend the act as a result of racial inequality in the hairspray industry. End quote.
Help me.
So
help me.
Because the hairspray industry is racist, this woman decided on her own volition to spray Gorilla Glue on her hair because she was out of her favorite brand name hairspray to glue her hair down. And now it's a racist issue. Greg, I don't know about you, but as I said, it's almost laughable, if it were not so sad, that there's a declension in some fashion with everything that happens, everything that goes awry. Little Johnny can get a bad grade in school, and it's because of racism. It's because of a white privileged teacher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's where we go today. In fact, I'm looking at an article, Greg, says, teacher says, white privileged Trump supporters are scum and a plague. A school teacher in Rome, New York, is facing black backlash after he posted a hateful message directed at supporters of President Donald J. Trump. The Facebook post called white privileged Trump supporters to go away, calling them scum and a plague upon the entire world, this particular teacher says. Further in the article, this writer says he immediately should be dismissed and his job should be terminated. This is considered hate speech, one resident says. Does this not incite anger? Does this not target one group of people? If the teacher's words were directed at Biden supporters, he would have already been reprimanded by the teachers' union and terminated. But people feel free to call Trump supporters as white supremacists or as being privileged, are being scum and a plague. But, Greg, the whole point is it divides humanity. But coming back to the subject specifically and in specificity on the term of dividing by manufactured racism, do you see America, Greg, as being a racist nation, or is this something that's being pumped out, promulgated, and manufactured to divide our nation?
It's the furthest from being a systemically racist nation. Have folks know, first off, the term racist is an inappropriate term. We use it. We kind of know what's meant by that. But there's one race. We're the human race. God went to the dust one time when he created Adam and Eve, and we are all offspring of that line. The notion of there being different races is that's a Darwinian notion. That's a racist notion in itself. The idea that we evolved in different ways in different parts of the globe from different critters, that's a racist ideology. And as soon as you use that term, as soon as someone uses that term, many times they've given in to that notion. Understand, it was easy for black slavery was evil. Slavery in general is evil. It's a bad thing. I wouldn't own one, nor would I be one. However, it's pitched many years ago to many folks is they're not really human. Of course, that same argument is being used for babies today in the womb. They're not really human. Think of how that evil ideology has morphed and changed over the years. But in America, I think of folks like Ken Hamblin. He calls him, called himself, as he was on the radio, I don't even know if he's on the radio anymore, but he called himself the Black Avenger, and he challenged folks, pick a better country. Pick, matter of fact, he entitled a book, Pick a Better Country. Go check it out, folks. I mean, I've not read that, but I guarantee it is full of wit, wisdom like you've never seen before. I guarantee it. I haven't even read it. But the man was a genius when he did an analysis. Essentially, if you're red, yellow, black, or white, there's no greater land to be in than the United States of America today. Today. Yeah. So, folks,
Greg, hold on a minute. Hold your thoughts for just a minute. I believe we have Dan on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a father-son team you two are. You're touching on a subject that has done more damage to this country than any other issue. It has been fed on since, well, how far you want to go back? The slavery itself. It has been a tool that the Democratic Party, the Socialist American Party, the New Green Dealers have been using, because the media is the number one weapon they have to present these lies and these distortions of reality. And it's the people themselves that have accepted it. When did they sell their families out for welfare? When did the fathers leave the family in order to qualify for the freebies that the government was offering way back when? That's what needs to be looked at. Who sold who out? Did the white sell the black out? Or did the black sell themselves out by accepting a corrupted government's gift of financial, economic, social slavery that they're in today? I know it's something that you don't want to talk about or to face, but that is still the truth. And in order to be set free, we have to see the truth, hear the truth, speak the truth, and believe the truth, and, like you say, Dr. Youngblood, present the truth.
Absolutely. Dan, you're on target. Greg, would you like to respond to that statement or question?
He points out a lot of wisdom right there, and a lot of this really we can track back to Johnson's Great Society and a transition, a turning point for America when it comes to race relations. And so there are a lot of racial things going on there, but the transition was not good. Democrats realized, you know what, we can use this, and under Johnson's New Deal kind of stuff, we got a lot of giveaway programs that were giveaways to individuals that were single mothers at home without a husband. And in the 60s, black folks in America were pretty close to white folks in America as far as having united families, the nuclear family. There were about 26%, 25%. Were unwed mothers, and the rest were nuclear family. Today, that number within black America is 72%. So 72% of black boys and girls are raised without daddy at home. So who gets to
be daddy?
One
more point, well, gentlemen, I'd like to bring up.
The system
feeds
upon them.
Well, it's the point of this. We take advantage of our opportunities, and we're the villain, the white folk. Now, I agreed to a point that we needed to bring the blacks into the white schools in order to educate them, in order to show them the difference of an education, whether white or black or brown or whatever color you want to use. Did
That's biblical, totally absolutely.
Did they take total advantage of that busing issue and brought into the schools? Did the parents firmly hold them accountable for their grades and what they were learning in school? We know the truth to all of that. The school systems were destroyed and allowed to be all by design. This is a great, and again, they don't want people to say conspiracy. Without conspiracies, America would never have fallen. There's so many you can't even count them. And they've done all the damage to date. And there's more coming. And I'll leave you to finish.
Absolutely. Dan, thank you so much for your insight. In fact, Greg, before you respond, let me just, I'm looking at a little brief blurb from Candace Owens. And Candace said, the left has created a slew of terms such as white guilt, white privilege, to collectively judge Americans by race. That's a pretty powerful statement. And that's exactly what has happened. I believe that's what Dan was speaking about, because we have had the unified school system. We've had the integrated school system. We've had basically in America what I would call a fast track toward equality in all that's said and done in any race. And yet we have the movers and shakers today out of the Beltway in Washington that's trying to tear down and destroy what's been built, and it's trying to focus, trying to force American citizens to look introspectively and find fault with their neighbor, regardless of whether it is the neighbor's fault or problem or not. It goes back to the divide and conquer mentality, and that's part and parcel of the BLM, the Black Lives Matter movement, the Antifa movement, is to divide America so that we will be imploded from the inside and be destroyed as a great nation. In fact, Greg, before you respond, here's an offer article that says, Cornell University offers a racially segregated rock climbing course. It scrubs its website after it is determined that it's a racist program. Campus Reform confronted school authorities about the blatant racism in its course description, which led to the school scrubbing its website to change the course's requirements. And it goes on in the massive article talking about the University of Cornell being a racist and dividing, segregating even its recreational programs and segregating its students into courses to force them to study white supremacy and racism that is not a fact. How do you respond to that, Greg?
Well, the fast track you talk about has been a fast track toward socialism. And we have to step back in time, because it seems like every leftist activist that wants to point to racial division, they always start their argument with slavery. And I've already pointed out the fact that just about every people group has been enslaved to another people group at some point in time in history. And again, 95% of black African slaves did not end up in the colonies that became the United States of America. They went elsewhere. For those that think this society was built upon slavery, you need to understand, if that were true, there would be societies all around us that would be superior economically to the United States. And that is not true. If this society were built upon slavery. Yes, you know, folks, as crass as this may sound, there were a lot of folks that saw slaves, whether they be Irish or Chinese or black or whatever, they saw them as farm equipment. That's evil. That's evil to see a human being as nothing but a tool. But I'll have you know that during Reconstruction, those folks that were formerly slaves very quickly learned. Some of them were reading, writing, and teaching at a PhD level. There's evidence of that in our history. Matter of fact, the first seven black members of Congress were all Republicans. One of those presided over the House. Now, how many black folks today can tell you that in Reconstruction, I'm talking in the few years following the end of slavery in 1963, in Reconstruction, we have seven black members of Congress elected and sent by the people to represent them in Congress, and they were all Republicans. We're going to see that in the history. This is Black History Month. Are we going to see that? They're going to talk about that? No, they're not. You know, Mr. Rainey, they're in South Carolina. Again, in 1874, he presided over the House. He was in the Speaker's chair. They teach that to these folks? Do they teach that, you know, Frederick Douglass said that he would always be a Republican, that party of freedom and progress? Do they teach that in America? No, they would rather divide us on our skin color.
That's exactly right. Greg, hang in there. Hold on a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.